Number 97, the power of a broken heart. There's a term, ahimsa, which in Hindu, Buddhist, and Jainist tradition means respect for all living things and avoidance of violence toward others. In the Majjhima Nikaya, which is a collection of discourses from the Buddha, he says, may all beings be happy and at their ease. May they be joyous and live in safety. All beings, whether weak or strong, omitting none, in high, middle, or low realms of existence, small or great, visible or invisible, near or far away, born or to be born, may all beings be happy and at their ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none by anger or ill will wish harm to another. Even as a mother watches over and protects her child, her only child, so with a boundless mind should one cherish all living beings, radiating friendliness over the entire world, above, below, and all around without limit. So let everyone cultivate a boundless goodwill toward the entire world, uncramped, free from ill will or enmity. Well, that's a pretty tall order. I would say especially these days, but it's probably not especially these days. It's probably always been a pretty tall order. The thing most spiritual teachings don't mention about the practice of nonviolence, the letting go of bad feelings toward another, bad energy toward another group, the thing most spiritual teachings don't mention about the practice of nonviolence, letting go of any ill will toward anything above, below, and all around 360 degrees. What's not mentioned is the amount of grief you end up carrying when you let go of the anger, if you can let go of the anger. Anger's not wrong, certainly not at this time in our world. There are so many reasons to be angry, and some of yours are the same as mine. Some of mine are different than yours. We all have every right to be angry when our way of life, our permission to be alive, to enjoy life the way we would like to, seems to be threatened, sometimes even legislated against. Of course, anger is the appropriate response. Our life is being threatened. Maybe not in the form of you will die, but some part of you will have to go underground or fight against whomever it is that is saying you're wrong. Anger has been appropriate again and again throughout these past few years, but anger arises and then subsides. It ebbs and flows. We hear about a new edict somewhere, some new silly law outlawing some book. It makes us angry. Anger comes and goes. It arises and subsides. It ebbs and flows. It's only when we freeze it in place and assign it to one person or one group or one way of thinking or behaving that it can begin to eat us from the inside. When we start to believe that if only so-and-so were gone, or if only such-and-such were different, then I wouldn't have this anger, it's an illusion. The illusion is that we can actually gain control of anyone else or even of our world. If we're trying to find a spiritual approach to all of the worldly chaos, we absolutely will want to let the anger find its proper place in our experience of things, arising here and there, then settling back down again, using it, channeling it to where it can be useful. My acting teacher used to say, there are two kinds of anger. There is anger to kill, and there is anger to confront. The one is never okay. The other is always appropriate. But when we find a way to leaven our anger, to allow it to become a part of us, when we do that, what comes up in us might be the grief and sorrow and brokenheartedness of seeing principles and ideals that we cherish torn down before our very eyes. We might feel the pain of every other disappointment we've had in life. Every death, every loss, every sadness we've carried over from our history. And those oh so many things and people and experiences that are no longer available to us. Oscar Wilde said, hearts are made to be broken, perhaps. But spiritual truths tell us that everything happens for a reason. And the reason is always about progressive change. The evolution of spirit. It's our job to look for the good, to seek the next right step forward that can move us in the direction of our own evolution. And to do that, we must find the willingness not to turn away from our grief or pretend it isn't there or allow it to be covered up by the idea that it's the fault of someone else or something else and the anger this idea may set off within us. The depth of our grief is evidence of how deeply we have loved. The fire of our anger might be evidence of the depth of our grief. And if we have loved enough to care this deeply about what's happening, it's by allowing that grief to be here that we can find the way forward and our place in that way forward, the place where our individual evolution will align with the evolution of the whole and where our energy then will be used appropriately and most powerfully. It's the love that the anguish uncovers for us that will show us the way forward. It's the anguish that the anger covers for us that we keep avoiding by holding on to the anger. There's a way forward. There's always a way forward. I have to be willing to live in the discomfort of the deepest, hardest feelings that are available to me in order to be able to find that way forward. Today, I will let myself feel the grief I might be carrying, and I will see it as a call to love rather than a reason to hate. And I will insist on not letting it go underground again, at least for this moment. Thanks for listening. Have a beautiful day. Thanks for listening to Embracing Bliss. I started this podcast and the book it's based on to offer a daily reminder to myself as well as to you that we have the freedom to choose happiness. And if ever we needed happiness and freedom to choose in this world, now would be that time. So please do share it with someone you love, send it to a friend, and also please stay in touch. Links for Instagram, the book Embracing Bliss, and to sign up for my newsletter can all be found in the show notes. Until next time, have a great day.